Every single one of us have an opportunity to let our light shine for God. Every single person that's here this morning. I've said that several times over the last few weeks, and I'm in a mini-series about the importance of stewardship of who we are before God and in the world. And oh, I'll say it again, how important it is to let your light shine for God. All of you, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, have a certain place, a certain path in your life where your light can shine for God and make a difference. Each one of us have a circle of influence, that there are people in that circle of influence that are believers. And I'm sure for all of us, there are people in that circle of influence that are not believers. People that are on a journey, maybe uncertain, maybe bitter, maybe don't yet know, maybe never heard, or maybe they need an encouraging voice of someone who is authentic in their faith and desire that their life is genuinely connected to the Creator, and your life and where you let your light shine can make a difference in somebody's life. Jesus was a great teacher. I believe that he taught this and cared about this, and there are quite a few times in the New Testament where when I think we see the heart of Jesus, we understand that he cared deeply about the influence that each one of us have. Jesus was just an incredible teacher anyway. He cared deeply about the worth of every person, of every individual. He cared deeply about people and who they were, as our DS said a while back, several months ago, no invisible people to God. God knows and sees people. Every person is important. So every person in your circle of influence, whether you are around them often or once in a while, or they just pass through on to another person's circle of influence, remember today that they are important to God and their life matters. And if you can have an influence of light in their life, count it as a great privilege and a great opportunity. Every person is important to God. Every person is important. Every person is valuable. Every person was created with a purpose to live eternally with God. And we have the opportunity to be an encourager in the lives of other people. That includes every person that passes through our circle of influence. This morning, I want to read one of the parables of Jesus. And I want you to look with me before we do at two very short but meaningful statements that Jesus made found in the first one in Matthew. It's one that you've heard many times before and you've probably talked about or heard about before. It simply says this, and I'm just reading this part of the verse from one of the translations. It says this, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I hear a lot of people say that that's really what they hope their life will be when they pass into eternity. They hope that they'll hear the voice of the Lord say to them when they take their last breath, when they pass into eternity, that to God, their life was made a difference. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the second one is this. From the one who had been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. From the one who had been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Jesus said both of these things. He said that there will be a day when we'll have the opportunity to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We'll also have the opportunity, to say that our lives are important to God and what God gives us is important that we cherish and we remember, that we hold on to. In this series about stewardship and about how God wants us to put into practice the influence that we have, we're going to read now from Matthew chapter 25. If you have a Bible and you want to read it or use the Pew Bible, I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to read beginning at verse 14. I'm not going to read the whole parable. It's a long one, but I'm going to read part of it today. and you'll hear the heart of Jesus about influence and about being used for God. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Hear the words of the Master as he answered the question that I read at the beginning of the servant. What servant? Who then is the faithful servant? Verse 14 says in the parable, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with a banker so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So many things in this parable makes us think that the parable is about money. We read in this translation, and actually in different translations, the whole part of the parable of what Jesus is describing is written in different ways. But in this version, in this translation, the words are translated all about money, about gold, about a certain amount of gold, that one man received 5 bags of gold, 1, 2, and another 1. You also may know that this parable is told in other gospels, and it's told a little bit different with different details and different parts of it. But the reality is, although on the surface it seems like this is written about money, it's really not about money. It's really not about money. Jesus is telling us that God has certain treasure that he entrusts to us. It's not physical money. I mean, after all, he created the world. He created all the gold and everything in the world that we think of as valuable. He's the infinite creator that made the stars and the worlds that are out there and everything in them. He spoke them into existence. Do you think that that's something that for God is like he holds on to value because it has some kind of material value to him? I think we would think about that and say, well, no, that's not really what's important to God. It's not valuable to God that we somehow raise money for some project or something. What we do with what we have is what's important to God. What we do with what God has given us is what's a part of this parable. What we do with life that God gives us, do we use our life to honor him or do we waste our life? Do we use the influence that God allows for us in that circle of influence around us, or do we waste it? Do we see that as a valuable, valuable commodity in the heart of God? Because that's important to God. It's important to God that you use your life in a way that multiplies the love of God, that multiplies the kingdom of God, that multiplies the dominion of God. That's what Jesus wants for each one of us. He's describing here basically 2 kinds of people, 2 kinds of people that may think of themselves as his disciples and his followers. This is a good test. This is one test. It's not the only test, but it's a good way for us to think about whether or not our lives match up to what God wants. He's giving a contrast here. The contrast here is of those who see their lives as having great potential to God and the kingdom of God and those that throw it away and do not understand how important their lives are to God. There will be many who see what abilities God gives them and sees their time and sees their influence, and they'll have in their heart a desire to use them for God. That's one kind of person. That's the first two in this parable told in Matthew, because the first two were men who said, the master has trusted me with this much. I'm going to take it, and I'm going to do my best with it. One had five, one had two. They did their best with it. They didn't, in the story, and this is a parable, this is a story, they didn't complain about what the master had given them or not given him. They simply took what the master gave them, and they did their very best with it. And that's what God wants from your life and from my life. There will be many who will do that. In fact, in the parable and in the other gospels, more did with what God, the master, gave them and put it to use than didn't. And then there will be some who will never get it. They will not understand how important their life is to God and their influence is to God, and they'll lose out, and they'll lose what God has given them as a great gift and great potential. This, of course, is a parable. It's a story. And there's some things that we should learn from it. We know that we can't take everything in a story that Jesus and match it up to everything perfectly in life. But he's giving this colorful illustration, and he apparently repeated it more than once in order to teach plainly an important and deep truth that all of us should have deep inside of us. And that is that God gives us things that we should use for him. It's really not a difficult lesson to get. It may be a difficult lesson to apply in the world around us that we live. But knowing how important your life is to God, it's a story. We also know this is a story, at least according chronologically to where it's found in Matthew's gospel, that comes late in Jesus' life. In fact, the next chapter, Jesus is arrested. That tells you how late it was in the ministry of Jesus that he gave this important story. I kind of see it like this. I'm not sure, but I kind of imagine it like this. Jesus is coming to the end, and he says a lot of things in that last week of his life about the urgency of our lives and being used of God and being given ourselves to fully being a blessing to the people around us. And here it is right before he knows it's coming to an end, and he tells this story that, you know, it's a joyful story for 2/3 of it anyway, and then the last part of it is not very joyful, but I bet the first two parts are, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we kind of remember that, and probably if you've heard that a lot, that's associated with something special in your heart and your spirit. Jesus wants you to know that when you do what you can for God and you're minded toward that and you have a servant heart, a spirit, that God notices that. And he loves that, and he's grateful for that, and that's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for his people. That's what he wants for the church. He wants you to know that your life matters. Your life is important. Jesus is telling us that each one of his disciples are important to the heart of God. I said earlier how the people that pass through your circle of influence are important to God. It's absolutely true. That's kind of another idea about what we see of God's heart in Scripture, how people are important to God. Unsaved people are, messed up people are important to God. Confused people, hurt people. People are important to God. And then when you look at the church, a different category in some ways, we see how important they are to God. How important you are to God. You may think, well, once I become a Christian, God just kind of, you know, he checks you off on his list and you go into the other side of the ledger and that's great. You know, we're good. You know, they're coming to heaven in so many years and everything's good. God cares about your life from before you were conceived, for all of eternity. Can you imagine that? God cares about your life from before you were conceived for all of eternity. And he sees who you are. Your life matters to God. There's probably times when it's hard to believe that. You don't think about that. But it's true. He is telling us that each of us matter to God. God sees you and your life's important to him. And so he tells this story that it's translated talent in some places. It's translated money in others and gold and treasure. There's just like 8 different words I found of how this parable is translated. But all of them add up to this. God cares about who you are and he gives you certain gifts or abilities. And he wants you to use them for his kingdom. He wants you to be available. To be available to whatever God puts in that circle of influence. That you see that as potential. When that person comes across your path, you see that as potential to show the love of God. You're available to that. You're willing. You're minded toward it. And I don't mean, you know, however some people describe it, like you live with your head in the clouds. I don't mean that. I don't mean you kind of stand up on top of some podium and talk about being a Christian and witness to people. Maybe some people, that's what God calls them to do, and some do that, and some do good. Some are very public about it, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about 24 hours a day, who you are, wherever you are. Is an opportunity to show the fruit of the Spirit. It's an opportunity to show that somebody's life matters. That's being a steward of who you are in the eyes of God, looking for that purpose, having that purpose. That's really what gives life meaning. That's really what gives life fulfillment, I believe. You know, the stingiest people are the most unhappy people. Those that are always focused on their own selves and their own challenges, their own problems, their own hurts, their own stuff are the most unhappy people in the world. That's not just a spiritual truth. It's a truth about human nature. But it's even more so as God designed us spiritually. People who are focused on themselves are the least happy people in the world. People who, as soon as you see them, how you doing? Well, you know what, you know, it's just, there's a lot of things that aren't going well. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be honest at all, because sometimes life is really tough. And we need people around us that we can be honest with. You know, I'm not talking about living this charmed, you know, smiling when you come to church, which you guys do so well most of the time, you know. Expressive, you know. But what I'm saying is, I don't want this to be a pretend place. If you're hurting deeply, I want you to come in here and be able to say, I'm hurting deeply, and cry if you need to. And say, Pastor, would you quit smiling and come back here and give me a hug? Or, I need to tell you what I'm really feeling. I want to be a genuine church. I really do. I don't want to play church. And we generally are on that positive side when we come to church. But I also know what it's like when maybe we get so focused on the problems that it's hard to remember the goodness of God. And we can get into a pattern of focusing on the negative. And there are extremes on both sides. What I really want us to be is a genuine place where we can be real. And where we can say, God, help me where I'm weak. As the one man said, I believe, Lord. And then he said, help my unbelief. I hope we can be a church of people that say, I'm not doing well, but I'm calling out to God for his help and his presence and his spirit. And we can say, I'm doing great. How can I encourage you? There's something about being real before God and saying, God, I'm available to you to be a tool and instrument that you want to. I kind of think of all of us. I've been thinking about toolboxes. In fact, Lord willing, I'm planning to preach a series beginning in January on toolboxes. Thinking how God has a toolbox. Each of us are part of his toolbox. And each of us have a toolbox within that toolbox. And we have certain things that God gives us to use for him. I want to say to you today that God wants to be able to use you in this person's life. And he wants other people to be in your life to help you, because sometimes you hurt more than you can help. And I understand that. Genuineness, authenticness, being available to God to be the influence that he wants you to be. Fulfillment, meaning it does help when we focus on how we can be used of God to bless other people. It does help us when we're hurting. It helps us when we feel down, when we understand how important we are to the hand of God. It's not just about doing things, but enjoying life and finding contentment. So your life has great value. Don't forget that. Each of these servants, I notice in the parable, were important to the master. They are important. The master gave to each of them different amounts of gifts and talents. And I wonder, well, why did Jesus do that? In one parable, 10 and 5, and this one, 5 and 2 and 1. And why did he do that? Well, I think because we all realize there's a reality that sometimes we don't feel very talented. We may not feel like God's given us anything. But the truth is, God has given everybody. There's not a person. If you would come to me and say, well, what about so-and-so? I almost automatically can tell you something that I believe in their circle of influence that can have a positive effect if they use that for the Lord. Everybody who's a believer has an opportunity to turn that into something positive. Everybody has it. Whether you have one or two or five or ten or whatever you have the potential. God gave you the potential to use that. That's why he gave it to you. It might not be easy to find it. You might think, well, how can I, where I'm at? But I promise you, God has given you where you're at in your life. He's given you something to use for him, for his kingdom, if you're willing to see it that way. But sometimes you have to adjust the attitude. Sometimes you have to step back and say, God, I've lived in pattern maybe longer than I should, and I need to see this in a way that you want me to. Sometimes we need to be able to pray that and say that to God. And then God can help us to see things different. But I'll tell you, everybody here this morning who's a believer has something that God's given you to use for his kingdom. Some different, some more than others, some more obvious than others. But to every servant, the master gave something to use their ability. That they would do what they could. The key is, the master knows. He knew the potential for those servants. He knew the potential for the one with five, the one with two. He knew the potential for the one who would bury his. The third servant buried his talent. He threw it away. When you don't use what God intends for good, then it gets buried. And it doesn't do what the potential was there for it to do. When you keep an attitude that I can't do it, I won't do it, I don't want to do it, I don't care to do it, then something shrinks inside of your heart and your spirit. And the best thing to do is to open it up and give it away. And God can use it in a great way. Your life matters to God. He sees the potential that's there, the unknown. See, for one thing, God sees the future. He sees your future. But he sees something else. He sees the circle of influence in your life. And he knows where your life can have an impact. So I just say to you today, give it your very best. This parable is a great encouragement to do your very best. Don't waste your life. I've been saying that a lot more lately. About 2 or 3 years ago, it just kind of came into my heart. Maybe when I was reading this parable, I don't know. But I've had a privilege to interact with a lot of people in, you know, my life, 58 years, and some time as a pastor. And I just feel more and more that I want to say to people, don't waste your life. Whether you're young or old, don't waste your life. Whether you feel like, I only got one talent, Pastor. I don't even think I got a talent. Well, first I want to say to you, yes, you do. Yes, you do. And there are some people that I could talk about in this church, but I don't want to do that because it would embarrass them. There are some people I have great respect for in this church. Not maybe because they're, you know, they're like seen by people or flashy or, you know, or big. It's just, they just seem to say, whatever it is God wants me to do, I'm willing to. That's incredible. If you give your best to God, you may be surprised what God can do with it. When you give everything in your little bag to God, and you see it as belonging to God, and you say, hey, God, start with my attitude, start with my heart, and then whatever my hands can do, whatever my tongue can do, whatever my feet can do for you, God, help me to see it, help me to know it. If you give your best, I bet you may be surprised how God can grow it. I was saying this week as I was somewhere, I was talking about what I was going to preach about Sunday, and I was joking with somebody about the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, or whatever it was, how that little boy came, and he gave what he had. It's amazing what Jesus did with it. It's amazing what Jesus can do with a life when we are available to him. Your talent may look small on paper, but it's amazing how God's light behind it will make a difference. God's light behind it will make a difference. I think about shadow. I think the next picture. I just like this picture. This is kind of how I see it when we're available to God, when we have the right spirit, when we say, God, whatever I am, and all my faults and all my questions and whatever, this is what I am for you. Whatever you can do, whatever you want to do, I'm available to you. I tell you, friends, every single one of you, where you're living, has influence in other people's lives. Some of you are living more in lives of pain. I know that. Some of you are living in tough places. I don't mean to sugarcoat and smile, go out there and smile, but ask God to use you in the tough place in order to say to the people around you, my God is real, my faith is real, and he's going to help me and see me through. Maybe God can help you in that place. Wherever you're at in life today, hear the parable of the story of Jesus. May God help your life in God's timing to be magnified, to be somehow God will use it for you. See every day as a day to let your light shine for you so that someday you'll hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Would you stand, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful parable. I know since you told it at least several times that something like this, they're a little bit different in different places, but God, it must have been on your mind as a way to illustrate something important about the kingdom of heaven. I pray that this would encourage us. I pray, God, that it would help us to see the value that you put on our lives and in that light that you allow in our lives, help us to use it for good. Help us, God, to find your strength and help where we need it. Help us, God, I also pray that this church would be a genuine community of people who love and care for each other and love God with all that we are. God, that we can be a kind of place that helps the healing, people that need it, that's a hospital for the sick. God, that we would never have an attitude that we've arrived and we just want our church to be about coming and going and being happy all the time. God, help us to have that heart for people where the gifts that you give us will be used and will shine, I pray. Thank you for this story. Thank you for your truth today. In Jesus' name, amen.